You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
Should I bring it in?
Me or you? What?
Should I?
Yeah, you bring this one in.
Okay. Denshi mail. Do you like my new intro?
Sure. Just, I mean, maybe I can like strong badify that and get the cheat to do some sweet techno. Yeah, no, that has potential.
All right. Okay. I think that's our new opening. Leave us feedback about that new opening. And all right. Till next week.
Well, I didn't want it to be short, but
okay. Not that short. Okay. So let's talk. So I was really surprised. I opened up my computer the other day, and it's like, one of in YouTube, there's a new video available, and I'm like, a new video? I like that. And I'm like, it's Famicom Dojo? I remember those guys, but I thought the Winter Dojo was finished.
Yeah. So hey guys, if you were subscribed, or like you're one of the 500 new subscribers we've got since the end of the Winter Dojo. End of that, mind you.
The end of Winter Dojo. the end. So I mean, I think we've realized what we should do here is stop making videos because we get better viewership when we don't.
Right. No, I mean, we put this video out to like help sort of ride the wave here. And I guess it's worked to some degree, but yeah, I've been sitting on some stuff that you sent me for a while now.
Yep. And you shouldn't, it'll break.
Or it'll just become obsolete.
Oh yes.
And the Wii U will no longer be available, and I won't be able to play it anymore. Is that how that works? No. You sent me some things, and I recorded a few videos based on that, but I only released one recently. And man, I gotta tell you, it did not go the way I thought it was gonna go.
Oh, that's fine. I liked it.
For those of you who are curious, when we do something like the stuff Vink sent me videos, there's usually like some idea of what we're going to be doing, but there's no script. We're not even in character usually.
I mean, we always obviously know what's going to be in that box. The unboxing is just, but usually the idea is it's something that Sean wanted from Japan and specifically to do a video about it. But this one, it went different than you thought.
So I got an AV modded Famicom, and I've wanted one for a while.
Yes.
The principal reason being that I like the form factor, but really more that I get all the features.
Yeah.
This one also came with an awesome AC adapter, which I'll be using as my permanent Famicom / Super Famicom adapter going forward.
I use those for most of my systems, actually.
See? People are asking where they can get those because there's like no branding on them whatsoever.
No, I mean, you can get ones that have branding on, but like, I mean, I think they all probably come from the same factory because they look almost identical. They're not expensive. They're like $10.
Right?
It would work with anything that would, except that size connection. So probably Famicom, Super Famicom, TurboGrafx, maybe? I mean, not TurboGrafx.
Well, I guess Genesis and Mega Drive, because you can use those as replacements. Yeah, so that's good
stuff. I'm pretty sure PC Engine as well.
Okay.
But yeah, they're pretty common around here because I think probably two reasons. Number one, technically those old plugs shouldn't be for sale anymore.
Right.
Because I think that was one of the things when they tried to get old consoles banned, they claimed that those were fire hazards. Whereas the new ones have a greater range, I guess, and are safer.
Yeah, they can actually be used in US outlets without burning out.
Yes. So I think that's one of the ways they got around it. So a lot of, when you buy a console right now, a lot of them come with those or at least have the option that they'll offer you to sell one with that. So, yeah. But anyway, so you open it up and
Yeah, I was really curious to check the mod, especially because I don't really know how this works, and so I made sure to throw that in the video so that people who know about mods could comment.
Oh man, that was awesome, because I've got a modded one too. I think a similar mod, although to tell you the truth, it looks a lot better on my TV.
Does it?
But maybe because I have a Japanese TV.
Maybe.
I don't know. We should do a little comparison there anyway.
But that's
that mine looks nice. Yeah.
I kind of started to, right? Like it was on a whim, because I realized it's like I have a lot of Famicom, so I decided throw them all on the screen.
That was hilarious.
A lot of stuff's off the cuff, right? But then I was like, I can actually do like a video comparison. How different can it be? Well, as it turned out, there was some issues with my modded Famicom compared to the AV and the Twin. So yep. I'm spoiling the whole video for you if you haven't watched it yet. I mean, it's still pretty entertaining to
if you
to
haven't
watch.
If you haven't watched it, stop right now.
Yeah.
Stop the podcast. No, seriously, stop. Okay.
Yep.
How long do you think they're going to take to watch the video? We can just talk. Let's talk about them.
Well, I mean, on average, they watch about 60% of it.
Oh yes, yes.
Ah,
so they never even get to me. They never even get to me then.
Oh yeah, the most people who watch that video don't get to you.
Well, that's probably why it doesn't have much bad feedback.
Wah wah. No, might make it people won't actually watch it is that we use Mother to do the comparison.
Yeah,
the video comparison. So because it was topical, like it was just after E3. That yes, I finally yes. went, okay, we should ride this wave of all these new viewers, which we'll talk about that in a minute too.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this anyway, and I already recorded the first parts
yeah.
of this and several other videos. So I just needed to get the comparison done. And I was like, all right, well, use Mother 1 because people have been commenting about that since our first episode or second.
Yep.
Well, yeah. First episode ever. So 8 years later, almost, it's probably time to
there you go.
Show them what Mother looks like. Actually, you know what? I'm not even sure that I've ever put the game in before.
Really?
Yeah. That whole time, I never put it in myself.
I played through, like, because the language is easy in the game.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's one of the ones I did during my phase of, like, I think I can learn Japanese by playing video games. That was good practice, but I mean.
And now I don't have to.
Yeah.
Man. Anyway, so yeah, it still has its value there. But I found out quite by accident that there are problems. But now that we can it's on YouTube and stuff, we can summarize what those problems probably are.
Yes, yes. And solutions for them. But I gotta say, I laughed so hard when you took the cover, because I saw this for the first time just slightly before it came out. And I didn't know what you were doing with this video. I thought you were just going to hook it up and go, hey, it's AV. I'm Sean.
No, no, no. That would be boring. You know,
but I don't know. Some of them have been pretty straightforward. But like, it really went kind of like, remember the MSX one you did?
Yeah.
Where it was like, this is the MSX. And now this video is a comparison between two different versions of the Square Enix game.
Well, like you happened to send me a game that I had for NES, so that was like a total accident.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let's compare the two. And man, the MSX version was terrible.
That was what, King?
King's Knight. It's a Square game.
King's Knight, that's right. And that was the most entertaining part about the video. I mean, the system was very entertaining, but what was interesting was because you touched on something that MSX had a problem with, which was scrolling.
Right.
Keeping scrolling backgrounds going. Although, and you know, some games which didn't use that look better on the MSX than they do on the Nintendo. But a lot of games that did, yeah. But it was fascinating. I love that part about it. And for this video, I just loved when you open it up and there's just this big old wad of tape on there. Oh, man. I felt bad because I am the one who acquired that mod for you, you know. So I mean, I don't know who modded it, but that was just funny. I'm like, no wonder they put a security sticker over there. They don't want you to see that.
Yeah, it's like this totally unconvincing, like not you know, original security sticker. It's like, obviously someone opened this to do the mod. Like, who are you kidding, guys?
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
although I do like how it cleanly comes out the back. That's
that was very important to me. But I guess if I'm willing to go through the pains, I can make this mod a little bit better. But I don't think I'm going to, honestly. I think it's good enough for my purposes.
I think due to popular fan demand, we need to find out how to hook up stuff via RBG or S.
Oh god, yeah, I want to get to that in a minute too.
Okay.
So apparently what's probably going on here is that there's the way the video routes through the system, there's like some other chip that's causing interference in the video signal. And if you were to plug in the video lead to like pin 21 of, I forget what chip it is, but like there's a way to bypass it going through the board where it is. I guess this will probably disable the RF, which I'm fine with. That would remove the vertical jail bar lines that are going through the video. That's what I was told. Like, people thought maybe it was like a bad solder job or whatever, but no, I guess this chip interference is a commonly known issue with this hardware. Or so I'm told.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, It'll be interesting to find out. I don't know. I mean, it clearly looks better than RF, and so that's an advantage right there. It's
got
it's got a very nice form factor. I know I said in the video that, you know, the Turbo Twin was the best, you know, but you know, it has its own drawbacks as well. Apparently sound is not quite as good, but I don't know. I've never owned hardware, a sound hardware good enough to tell the difference.
Sure. And
except with Famicom clones, I can tell the difference with Famicom clones if they're really cheap ones. Yeah.
I mean, but since it is like actual Famicom hardware in there, I'm not really sure what could be different. That could be that different anyway.
Just how the soldering is done or how it's cabled together. I don't know. Cause I suppose a very good AV mod will, you know, I don't know. People have written a lot of stuff, and I mean, I think there'll be a lot of debate over what the best system is. But I really have always liked the all-in-one systems. That's why I like my Duo R for PC Engine stuff, and that's why I am looking to acquire a Wonder Mega or an XI for Sega CD stuff. I like the combined units. I enjoy that.
So it's just funny to me that I went into this going, look, I'm excited about this AV modded Famicom, and then I came out of it like basically proving what you've been saying.
Yeah.
And I guess I've been kind of like sort of tacitly agreeing with you that like the twin Famicom is the best version of the hardware. Because we get asked all the time like what we think people should buy, and we say the twin, but like, you know, the fact that it is a combined system and that the disk drive, if it works, will make it much more pricey than getting something else. Someone did ask, and I'm sorry I don't have like all the emails up right now, but someone did ask if there was another AV Famicom in the background. It's like, no, that was my NES 2. That's RF.
Yep.
Not part of the video, but like, yeah, that was the shelf where it resides. So
wait, you don't have an AV Famicom?
No, I have one. They just thought that
it
was another one.
Oh, okay.
Because it looked very similar.
All right.
That's another video. Like, that's going to be something we'll do eventually.
And I mean, I teased in another video that I'm working on right now too, at the end of it. So that's going to be one of our upcoming ones.
But yeah, I guess we should talk about the RGB thing.
Okay. You can modify a Famicom to do RGB or actually S video would also be better than, you know, just the standard one. Now I know in a previous podcast you got confused over what that was.
Yeah, the last entry mail, I didn't really understand what they were talking about, and I don't think I even have a TV. I definitely don't have a TV that would support it, and I don't even know if I can get one, honestly.
I'm sure you could. I mean, this is where I might be wrong, but the Sony Trinitron that everybody says is the best.
Yeah, I was wondering about
that. I'm wondering if that has it, or has some little box or something that can make it do that. Yeah, I know a lot of the TVs in Japan do it, and a lot of them in Europe.
Someone did mention to me that, like, oh, it's easy to just, like, go to any garage sale and pick one up. It's like, well, I got to pick one that actually has one for sale.
Yeah.
Even if it's just $1, it's like, that's...
I was biking home today, and I saw a CRT just sitting by the side of the road, and I was like, I should put that in my bike. And then I'm like, where am I going to put it when I get it home? I mean, I think that's the big problem. I don't have any room to...
Wait. So the transportation on your bike was not an issue for you so much as...
Oh, no. Not a huge CRT. Maybe 15-inch. No, bigger than that. I don't know. I would have been able to... I would have found a way to bring it home. I just don't know what I would have done with it once I got it there.
So yeah, sorry, not gonna go the RGB route. Not really interested enough, honestly.
If I get a TV that supports it, I'll do it because I realize I have cable for the Super Famicom that will do it. Super Famicom 2 RGB, I have.
Okay. Yeah, I basically just proven to myself that I'll continue to do Famicom capture from the AV version.
And not the twin.
Well, okay, so the twin, I've never had a proper power supply for it.
Ah.
So I have one, but the voltage is too low.
What about that special cable? Does that one work?
The special cable.
The one in the box with your AV Famicom, would that work?
No.
No, okay.
The plug's the wrong size.
Oh, okay.
And the polarity might be different too. I'm not sure. I do have an adapter that has the right polarity, but like I said, the voltage is too low, and like it makes the sound kind of crackle.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't really work. And then like one time I was using it, and like the whole thing just shut off on me. So it's like I don't want to damage my console. So, yeah, if you happen to have an adapter that would work with the twin, I would love to have one. Just saying.
Okay.
Stuff Vink sent me, please.
Stuff Vink forgot to send me.
That's hilarious. I still laugh when I hear that.
the worst hack job ever. Not so much that the text was just inserted, but the grammar wasn't even changed.
Right.
It could have been stuff Vink didn't send me. Oh, wait, no, that's... No, I like it how it is. Stuff Vink didn't send me. Forgot to send. I like it even more now. Okay. So... That's that.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe the thing that's more exciting, honestly, is we got a lot of new subscribers, and that's because we got a lot of new hits, and that's because you've heard of this probably obscure video game reviewer on YouTube, right? I think his name is the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Is he related to Angry Joe? Was that funny? I don't know.
Oh,
my name is.
Okay.
What? Okay.
I mean,
continue.
I mean, we do Nintendo themed videos, and we seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Which is all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, a few weeks ago, he put up this thing called James and Mike Monday. So, you know, James being his actual name and Mike being...
What?
Well, I have no idea who Mike is.
I bet it's his actual name.
Who's Mike, though?
I don't know. No, James is the angry video game.
Right, that's what I said.
Yeah, and Mike is...
Some other guy in the video. I don't know who he is.
That guy.
Yeah, Mike. Anyway, so they have this James and Mike Monday thing. I watched a few of them. They're kind of interesting. But they, you know, back when he did his first Famicom theme video around the mystery of Convoy. Yep. he did this whole thing about like what a Famicom was to,
yeah.
And I'm just like, I'd like to think he knows who we are, but it, clearly that must not be the case, or it doesn't matter for the case for the purposes of his thing. But it's like, I always thought like, man, it would be nice if we can get like a little bit off the top, just a little bit of you know, some traffic from a mention like that. And lo and behold, he did one about the Famicom versions of The Legend of Zelda. And I say versions because it was both the disc version and the later version. But yeah, you know, went through the whole polls voice trick that we did in a previous video. And then, about how, the disc system version works and everything. And oh man, speaking of needing an AV mod, like the capture they had to do for their RF version, oh, it was just so bad. Ours isn't that much better for like the exact same trick, but theirs was a little bit worse. And it could just be there's like a lot of more radio interference where they live, but man. So it's worth watching. I mean, if you've seen any of our stuff, it's probably nothing you've seen before. Something you haven't seen before, but you know, at like almost 500,000 views, more people have seen it.
yeah.
But as a result of that, we got a lot of traffic for our data recorder video. It's one of the suggested videos that like either came up like either on the sidebar or possibly like at the end of the video, like where it like shows you a bunch of things in the player that you should watch next. And our recent Winter Dojo big hitter was the one, and that apparently became a gateway drug for at least 500 new subscribers.
Thank you very much, new subscribers.
But not just that. We also got about 9,000 views on that video alone.
Nice.
Which almost tripled. Wait. Yeah. Quite nearly tripled the view count it had. Like it was the most successful video coming out of the Winter Dojo at not quite 5,000 for like the month or so it's been out, which is respectable for what we'd you know, we hadn't made a new video in a long time, but like I'm comparing it to things like the Minus World, which is like at 16,000 now actually. The GameCube Secrets, which like hit 50,000 not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that was only 2 years old, right? So like what this reminded me of when it happened was like, it's like it's 2007 again.
Yeah.
You know, like
golden time,
right? Those like wild and woolly days of YouTube when there wasn't as much competition basically. And that's how like Pow TV got its start, right? Like we did a lot of, like things as silly as like Zach wearing an Optimus Prime helmet and doing a review of something would get like 100,000 views.
Yep.
And he only had like a few hundred subscribers.
Those days are over. But
right. But like our first three Famicom Dojo videos, well, our first two more specifically, but they got real popular real fast. And like I was already used to like how like quickly Totaka's song got shared around, you know.
Yep.
And that one's doing 1 million views. You know, I, for those who don't know, I didn't do anything on camera, but I helped with a lot of the technical work, including camera control, for the professional rig we were able to use for that first one. But also like we Phil and I did one for an Owen Don review like leading up to like the Elite Beat Agents, like there was like a demo out for DS that we showed off, and like, you know, that one got picked up and had like almost 100,000 views within the first few weeks of it coming out. Or like, you know, he did the Rob the Robot one, so it's like we did Famicom Dojo and it didn't quite hit those stratospheric heights, but we thought that would like last forever, and then we did our fourth video like months later, and it took a little while for that one to catch up, and it has now. I think it's either surpassed or as close to surpassing our second episode, is like the second highest Famicom Dojo video ever. So it was just nice to have one. Like we knew this one was going to be big, and when it finally hit, it was just very, very, very nice. So thank you, everyone, for making that video almost as popular as the one that we did 2 years ago. It was very good, nice.
Very, very well put together episode. I really, really enjoyed making that one. It took a long time, but I don't know. Is that your favorite of the Winter Dojo?
No, weirdly. I really like it, and it was important stuff, but like, I feel some other ones were just snappier.
Like what?
The Duck Hunt one. But people didn't seem to watch that one as much.
That's because there was no Vink in that one.
Well, yeah. So my favorite probably is the Don't Blow It one.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's the least informative video that we did, but man, I guess there's less informative ones. I don't think we learned anything from the Gaming Generations video. But oh man, I love that video. And we've definitely got the most like positive feedback from it. Oh, I should bring back thank you for everyone on the data recorder, all the new subscribers, and the 45-50 new unlikes. Thank you.
That's bound to happen when you got like a new audience, right? But that's what's really great about this. Like, you know, it wasn't just the data recorder that they got all the hits. Like, there are people who watched this and hadn't seen Famicom Dojo before, and they watched a ton of the other videos.
Yes, they did.
And like, especially the Winter Dojo, like all those got a great lift. But then, you know, nearly all of our season one stuff, our 16-bit stuff, which I like, don't even want to call season two, but let's just call it that. But you know, like all of our heavy hitters got a lift, basically. And I'm hoping we've made some new lifelong fans. So if you're listening to this podcast as a result, because even our podcast promo on the Phantom Dojo channel got like twice the number of hits it did since it came out.
Yes, yes. So, welcome. Welcome, new listeners. Welcome, new viewers. Thank you. I hope you like it here. If you have any questions, just ask.
It's really too bad that we followed up that huge lift in the video views by like having 2 weeks of reruns on the podcast. But
yeah,
it couldn't be helped. It couldn't be helped. But now, it's really renewed our faith in our ability to do this. I think mine at least. Because yes. I was really wondering if you're ever going to hit something like that again, to be honest.
Share. If you like what we do, share. I mean, it helps. It helps a lot.
So, yeah. Thank you again, everyone who's been watching. It's been awesome to see all those new subscriptions roll in every single day. And even when we thought it was going to slow down for a bit, it's been picking up again.
Yes.
So I'm hoping there's a new normal, like, you know, obviously can't be as good as it where it's been this last few weeks, but
yeah,
I think, you know, higher than it's been. And
I hope so.
Yeah. I think for those who don't know, the That's Orange channel is getting a lot, like a lot of the sustained lift right now. But we do have a dedicated Famicom Dojo channel. If you aren't watching it, that's where all the new stuff is. That's where all the new stuff will end up going to once it's done. And Vinx even convinced me to pilfer some of those I don't want to call them let's plays, but like I'll take an old Famicom game I hadn't really played before and then kind of cut it down to the most comedic moments I had. They're pretty spontaneous and genuine surprise for the most part. Like maybe I'll have played it a little bit before and like try to recreate the moment. So a little bit of the sausage making there, like Time Lord. I definitely had to go through that once.
Yeah.
Before I could, how is it supposed to know you're just supposed to like wait for that stupid ball to descend?
No comment.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Wow. So, yeah. New listeners, if there's a video you would like us to do, like a subject you'd like us to cover, I know someone already asked about one we definitely plan on doing, but
yeah,
there's anything else you'd like us to do, like we like doing these smaller ones too, and But we have big plans. We have big plans for the rest of the year still.
Yes.
So even though we didn't do, So even though we didn't like announce anything in specific, we got stuff lined up for the rest of the year.
Yes.
In one way or another. Yes. So cool. Yeah.
Please look forward to it.
I am. I know I am.
Oh, me too.
There are a lot of anniversaries this year. There's the NES. 30 years old. Virtual Boy is 25 years old.
Okay. That one's going to go without 20.
20, sorry. Virtual Boy is 20 years old.
Okay. It's
25. What happened in 1990? Nothing.
Mother? No, 89. 1990. Snap-on bracelets.
Bringing those back. I think I have some somewhere.
I'm sorry to hear that.
They were what were they for? I can't remember anymore, but like they have like a more like a nylon sheath to them so they don't like the metal doesn't bust out of the, anyway. Why do I have those? I don't even know why I have those. Yes, come with us on our nostalgia video gaming trip. Apparently also fashion. This is meandering nowhere. Okay, let's just end it.
All right.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our music, Famicom Thrash and RPG, is performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at Famicom Dojo, our free iTunes storefront, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. Visit our show notes, including links, video, and audio bonuses at famicomdojo.tv/podcast. Please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes and sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network at littlepodcast.com.
All right. I like it.
Oh, I need a nap.